Dear friends, typically in our services at Peace, we have a reading from the Bible and then a message. Tonight's a little different. That reading preps us for the message that's going to be shared. Tonight, it's a switcheroo. Do you see what's going on? I'm going to share a message to prep you for the reading that's about ready to happen. Dear friends, throughout my message, short message tonight, I've got a phrase that I want you to repeat. I'll share it, then repeat it after me. It's a purpose phrase. So, he came to die.
He came to die.
Let's try that again. He came to die.
He came to die.
There you go. It's about a year ago that the pandemic began, and OPB, Oregon Public Broadcasting, was showing famous musicals. I don't know if any of you remembered this. I like musicals. Some of you might not know that. I've seen a lot of really good ones. There's one that I had not seen before. We were popping popcorn every Friday night. It was happening. OPB was showing world-class musicals. I saw for the very first time Jesus Christ Superstar. How many of you have seen Jesus Christ Superstar? Okay. All right. Half the congregation. All right. Well, if you've seen the musical, it's it deviates, let's say, from the biblical account in a lot of ways. It's going to be a lot different than what Karen's going to read in just a few moments. What I found striking about it, though, was a year ago when I watched this, was how Andrew Lloyd Webber, the producer that put that together, how he portrayed Jesus as out of control and kind of just caught up in all the events that were happening around him as if they were kind of accidental and he just got caught up in everything that happened. The way Jesus is portrayed in that musical is as if he's kind of just being tugged and pulled by all the political forces that are around him in the day. So for example, his followers, Mary Magdalene, they pull on him and say, Jesus, you are a superstar. Jesus Christ, superstar. You know the song? Then the scribes and the leaders, they want to oppose Jesus, of course. They want to kill him. And Jesus is kind of helpless in the way that he's portrayed, just tugged and pulled in all sorts of directions. It's pretty wild. And then at the very end, Jesus is reluctantly going to the cross, as if he's out of control and can't control anything, and he dies on the cross. Now, I think Andrew Lloyd Webber was trying to do something here. What he was trying to do is trying to get the audience to sympathize with this Jesus, as if he's a victim to this terrible situation and how all these random events just lined up and then he was put on the cross to die. Is that really how it went? Was Jesus kind of weak and out of control and just reluctantly going to the cross to die? All these random events happened and he just gets to die on the cross? And what difference does it make? Why am I talking about it tonight? Well, I'll tell you why. In our reading, I'm prepping you for the reading here in just a little bit, from John 19 and 20. We're going to read the words of Jesus on the cross, and one of the last words that he says is this, tetelestai. In the Greek, one word, imperfect middle voice, which means the act has been completely finished. Very clear. In English, it's three words. That's how you translate it. It is finished. And when Jesus was saying that, what he was saying was, my mission is accomplished. God's mission is accomplished. But my friends, tonight I want you to see something in what he was saying here in this moment. He was saying, I'm in control. I was in control the entire time. Tetelestai. It is finished. And as Karen reads tonight, I'd like for you to take a look at the other people that are involved in the story of Jesus' death. Because I'm going to say, they are out of control. They have no control at all. The crowds. Remember just a few days ago on Palm Sunday, they're shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, 6 days later, they're saying, crucify him. They're wishy-washy. They're all over the place. The scribes and leaders, they're plotting behind the scenes how to destroy Jesus. But then on the side, they're saying, well, I don't know if we have enough evidence here. They're wishy-washy. They're not in control of anything. Jesus' disciples, One moment they're planning their next career move when Jesus dies. The next they're saying they're going to follow him. They're wishy-washy and all over the place. They're out of control. Pontius Pilate. Karen, you're going to read that in a little bit. Pontius Pilate's interesting. It's noted that he had about, let's say thousands of soldiers there in Jerusalem at this time. He's got power. He's in control. He says something, it happens. Karen's going to read that this guy, Pontius Pilate, he's going to wash his hands. Weak. He's weak. He's going to wash his hands and say, I don't know what to do. He's out of control. There's only one person who's in control when we read the story. Tetelestai. It is finished. There was a purpose. Nothing is random. Nothing is out of control with Jesus. You know why? He came to die. Say it with me. He came to die. He came to die. He came to die. Absolutely. And you know, that was the plan from the very beginning. When the fall of man happened in the very beginning of the book of Genesis, you see outlines of this plan in the very early parts of the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the middle part with the prophets. God had outlined a plan that one person would pay for the sins of the world. Now we know that. There was the sacrificial system that kind of carried the Israelites in the, let's say the books of Deuteronomy, Joshua, 1 Chronicles, Kings. The sacrificial system was a bloody system, and the shedding of blood took place, but it was good for a moment. But you know why it was there? To point to this moment on the cross. That's why it's in the Bible. Then the psalmist, Psalm 22, wrote 800 years before Jesus lived. We read it last night at the end of Maundy Thursday. And it was interesting. The words spoke about the horrendous nature of the crucifixion, but it says at the end that that would turn people ultimately to the Lord. That was the plan, 800 years before Jesus came. Then the prophets, Isaiah chapter 52, verse Isaiah 52 and 53, there's a suffering servant that Isaiah talks about who will bear the sins of many. He's stricken, smitten, and afflicted. There's the plan right there. Zechariah, the prophet, talks about how there's going to be a king who's going to be horridly rejected and treated brutally, but that he would bring the redemption of the world. A plan was in place. And Jesus knew the plan. Lloyd Webber, I don't know if he ever read the Bible, because I don't know if he's completely off. Jesus knew the plan. Hebrews 10, Jesus says this. Jesus essentially says, the sacrifices and offerings that came, Lord, I know that it's my body that's actually going to pay for the sins of the world. And he speaks directly to the Father in Hebrews chapter 10. The scrolls, they're about me. The writings are about me. Jesus understood his purpose. He came to die. He came to die.
He came to die.
I didn't mean you to repeat after that one, but that's good. You guys are good. What a difference it makes, doesn't it? What a difference it makes to know that someone was in control. As I've reflected personally over the last year, one of the lessons I've learned about the pandemic, and actually I've learned by watching you, and this is, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same soup here. Did you see how much you weren't in control of your life? You're nodding your head. I realized how little I'm in control and how frustrating that was. It started with the wanting to get resources, going to the store and not able to get the resources, trying to get the toilet paper, not able to get the toilet paper, how frustrating that was. Something that's so controllable was not controllable. Then it moved to the calendar. You set a date. And you always set dates, and you always stick to your schedule. I don't know how many services we had at Peace that we had plan A, plan B, plan C, and what ended was plan D. Out of control. Whether it was resources, whether it was services, whether it was anything in our life, we were out of control. In a lot of ways, we relate to what we're going to hear tonight by Karen. We're going to see, we relate to the scribes. We relate to the disciples. We're so not in control. But Jesus comes tonight, and he has a message for you, to tell us, I'm in control. I'm going willingly to the cross. It's the plan. It's the clear plan in the Bible, and I'm doing it for you to open up righteousness and a relationship with the Father. And you don't have to earn it. You don't have to top it off with something to offer him. Tetelestai, it means it is finished, imperfect. It means it's done. It's paid for. It's over. Rest in that. That's the definition of comfort. You can rest. It's fully paid. You know, there was a story about a Christian man who was trying to convince his friend that Jesus paid for his salvation. Over and over again, he said it in so many different ways. And he finally just settled by just saying, Jesus, when he went to the cross, he fully paid for your salvation. Just believe it. And the friend responded, he wasn't a Christian, he said this, but I've got to do my part, he said. It can't be fully paid. I've got to do something. That person was an artist, and he was commissioned to do a work for his Christian friend. And so he did the work and painted a beautiful landscape. It was awesome. Brought it over to his Christian friend so that he could hang it on the wall. And the Christian friend got the painting, and he liked it. But he said to this friend that had painted this for him, he said this. He said, I like the painting, but before I hang it up, I'm going to add a few things. I'm going to add a tree over here in the background, and over here I'm going to add a bird, and how about over here just a little pond? And the friend who painted it said, that's insulting. What I made was finished and perfect just as is, just as I created it. The Christian had a smile, a wry smile, and looked at the man and said this, that's the exact point that I was trying to make with you. Jesus paid it in full. And to try and top it off with something that you do is an insult to him. Rest assured, tetelestai, Jesus is in control. Let us build our trust and confidence. It's okay that we're not in control. You're not in control. I'm not in control. Jesus is in control. Amen.